Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is December 24th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So, Merry Christmas Eve to all of you out there. I'm going to do a little bit of a coffee chat today just to kind of check in with the audience and share some thoughts before all of us, well, maybe not all of us, but probably a good majority of us are going to be busy with the holiday. And of course, navigating through all the interesting conversations we're going to be having with family members and everything that goes along with the holidays, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that kind of consumes me, at least for a couple of days. So I wanted to just take a couple of minutes just to share some thoughts with each and every one of you and to wish you well as we head into the holiday season. I know that I feel like now it's obligatory for me to mention every time I bring up the holidays the truth about what we're actually celebrating in the cabal, and just not to do a dive into it, but just to acknowledge that here we are entering another Christmas season. And now for, I think, a lot of us, it's been several years since we've been aware that the holiday season that we've always celebrated, we've always believed in, that we've always come together and really just celebrated life and celebrated family and expressed our gratitude, which, by the way, are all things that we still do and should do and should cling to. But, you know, it's pretty amazing that here we are yet again talking about Christmas and what it really represents. And hopefully we won't have to go through another holiday season like this. Hopefully the next time that Christmas rolls around, it'll be the real Christmas, and that we will have somehow extricated ourselves from this unbelievably complex knot that the deep state has tied us up in. But who knows, folks? I mean, in terms of the passage of time, one can never tell. I still have a podcast. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I certainly remember it. It was relatively early on when I started, and I remember saying something to the effect of, and this was, I started my podcast March of 2021, and I remember saying something to the effect of, well, you know, if nothing happens this summer, and, you know, this summer comes and goes, and we're still in the same sort of position, then yeah, you know, I may change my opinion. I may have a whole different perspective on this cube operation. And I remember saying that in an early podcast, and I was talking about the summer of 2021. And of course, I think at the time, all of us were. I mean, we were all reeling from January 6th. We were all reeling from the stolen election and then January 6th, and starting to really wrap our brains around the concept that we weren't going to see any justice, at least not in the way that we had thought. But still in all, in those early days, let's just say after the stolen election, or even after January 6th, there was this feeling that this whole scenario, this, if you want to call it that, that's the understatement of a lifetime, but this whole operation was going to be a lot quicker than what it turned out to be. And I remember at the time thinking there was no way that we were going to go through a whole summer and into the fall of that year and not see anything happen. And the reason that I bring that up is not to complain about it or to criticize or anything else, but just to simply point out that looking forward into the future, it's almost impossible for us to know how long this is going to take, what it's going to entail. And obviously, we've been talking about the possibilities now for quite some time, and we just recently added in yet another variable to this crazy puzzle in terms of this second plandemic that SG Anon has been talking about, and I'm definitely interested to get him back on the show. We've been communicating. I just haven't been able to nail down a time with him yet, but would love to get him on to talk about this. But folks, we really don't know whether or not that's going to be what transpires. I mean, obviously, there's differences of opinion. Juan O'Savin has indicated that he does not expect or think or believe that's going to happen. And so here we are in this very murky waters, like I've talked about before. You know, a friend of mine had mentioned it. You know, it's a really good description of where we're at right now. Very muddy, murky, cloudy waters. where, we just don't really quite know what's going to happen next, how long things are going to go on. And throughout this process, like I've talked about, we've strengthened ourselves. We've become hardened digital soldiers because we've been at war now for quite some time. And I was listening to Juan and Nino talk about this concept, and one of the reasons that I liked listening to those conversations, I mean, I always like listening to Juan. I mean, I shouldn't say always. I mean, most of the time I like listening to Juan. There are some days where, obviously everybody knows he's very long-winded, and you have to kind of be in the right frame of mind. If you're not in a really sort of a patient mood, listening to Juan O'Savin may not be a really good idea. I think in some ways that's why people enjoy the breakdowns that I do of Juan's intel, because sometimes folks just like to hear a condensed version. And but anyway, he always gets into these conversations with Nino, and it's really the thing I like about them is, on one side, obviously there's Juan being Juan and giving his intel and talking about whatever he wants to talk about. And then on the other side is Nino more or less speaking for the people and asking the questions that the people want to know. Now, Juan doesn't always necessarily answer those questions. As we know, he has a way of, taking a question and then just totally, redirecting it or reformulating it into whatever it is that he wants to talk about. But nevertheless, I mean, everybody knows I love Juan O'Savin. It's not a criticism. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, he's, if you listen to him, he talks about what he wants to talk about, and he doesn't necessarily engage in all of the particulars of the questions he gets asked. But the thing I like is that Nino really presses him on this idea of, how long is this going to take? Because this is really what people want to know, regardless of whether or not it's the right question, regardless of, how irritated Juan gets. And that's one of the things that's kind of entertaining, is watching how irritated Juan gets with these questions. And we're all over here, we the people, wringing our hands because we want to know the answers to these questions, and Juan, of course, is getting all upset because he's just so frustrated with the question. And I understand all different sides of this in terms of perspective. I mean, obviously I don't really know who Juan is. I have my thoughts on, I've speculated in the past, but regardless, he's definitely an insider. He's definitely someone who, has access to information, a lot more information than all of us. And so with that comes a whole different perspective on everything that's happening, obviously, because if you are in possession of information that relatively few people on Earth are, then you're probably going to have a much broader perspective, and you're probably going to have a lot more calm and perspective than the average person who doesn't have access to this information. And Nino's always trying to drill into this and trying to get him to answer these questions. And, but, the most recent conversation that I heard, and they've been doing a lot lately, so, I have to be honest, I haven't been able to keep up with all the interviews and everything because I've just been busy with work and everything that's been going on in my own life. But he talked about this concept with Juan of how long is it going to take, just kind of getting right down to it. I think one of the listeners asked, I'm 65 years old. Am I ever going to, the white hat's going to actually take action while I'm still alive? And, it was kind of funny question in a way, but, I think in some ways, in the way that, the way it came across, I mean, I'm not trying to make light of the question because I know there are probably a lot of people out there listening to me right now who are asking themselves similar questions. People are getting older and, they want to see this. They've been fighting this battle for a very long time, and they want to see this breakthrough. They want to live through this moment. And, there's every time we have a date that comes and goes, an expectation that doesn't get met with reality, I think this is a question that a lot of people are having, especially older folks, and I think, there were, it was interesting the way that Juan responded. He said, first of all, yes, these people are going to be alive. This is not going to be something that's going to go on and on and on and on and on for years and years. And again, you can kind of take that however you want to take it. Some people at this point are taking any kind of comments a commentary on timelines with a grain of salt, and I completely understand. That's kind of the whole point of this conversation. But he said that, you know, he doesn't really see us making it to 2024 with the current circumstances the way they are. And I have to agree. I mean, just looking at the scenario that we're facing right now, I mean, you just look at the Twitter files that are coming out, you look at all the disclosure that's happening in real time. There's really no way for the deep state to draw this out and drag this out much longer. In fact, I think it's really the White Hats at this point who are the ones controlling the overall pace of this chess match, if you want to call it that, because they're the ones who ultimately are going to decide when this thing goes hot, in the sense of really dropping the hammer with all of this, with all this disclosure. But with Elon Musk tweeting about following the white rabbit and starting to school the public on adrenochrome, and you've got him, I mean, that, and that's just one aspect of what's going to come out. Obviously, that leads to the deepest parts of the rabbit hole. And he's talked about the coup de grace that's still coming, which I happen to believe is the Keystone Jeffrey Epstein, like I talked about. But with all this disclosure happening, with all these things, all this information that's pouring out, I just don't see us making it to 2024 without some sort of a major event happening. I mean, I happen to agree. I'm not going to comment or speculate really at this point on the timeline because, again, you know, it's just impossible to know. All of us, like I was talking about earlier, you know, we all believed that it was going to be rectified and this whole situation was going to be resolved, but we were going to be living in a relative utopia by now. If you go back to the beginning of when I started my show, when we started this journey together, you know, when we joined forces and started walking this path together, we all thought that by now things are going to be a lot different. And so we just don't know. But getting back to that person's question about, you know, how long it's going to take, are people even going to be alive? And you know, people starting to just wonder and fear the worst about the timeline here. The other point that Juan made to Nino is, look, you know, the reality of the matter is that he has his perspective on how long he thinks this is going to go on. Everyone out there has, I suppose, their own opinions on it, or their own insights. But nobody really knows, save for a very small amount of people, I suppose, and perhaps even those people who are insiders, who are the architects of this plan, don't even know exactly how it's going to unfold. When it unfolds, that information could be God's alone. And so, you know, Juan was saying, look, what are you going to do? Are you going to just give up? I mean, if it doesn't meet your timeline, if it goes on for, you know, several more years, what are you going to do? Are you going to give up? Are you going to, where are you going to go? And, you know, I've basically said the same thing in so many ways on my show about me. I mean, in a sense, that's my perspective on this whole matter, is that I just don't see myself being able to walk away from this fight. I mean, I've completely committed myself. And my passion just will not allow me to disconnect myself from the fight. And not only that, once your consciousness is elevated to a certain degree, and once you, you know, you become attuned to the things that all of us have, you just can't go back. You can't put the mind back inside the cage. And so for me, no matter how long this goes on, I mean, heck, even if I pray that this isn't going to happen, but, you know, even if I die at some point along the way, and I don't get to see the ending, I'm never going to stop fighting for it. I'm never going to stop pushing and fighting and struggling for freedom and the truth. Because that's the decision that I made. And I do believe that I'm in good company as far as the people who are listening right now who have made the same decision. They have the same resolve. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, sure, of course, on one level it matters. I mean, on one level, I want this thing resolved yesterday, like I talk about pretty often, you know, when I express my frustrations and such. But on the other hand, I also know myself, I know my character, I know what's in my heart. And I know that at the end of the day, no matter how much frustration or anger I express, no matter how critical I want to be, because things aren't going the way that I thought they would, or I want them to, or I think they should, I know that I'm a fighter. And I know that I believe in the things that I stand for. And I'm willing to go all the way. I've gotten to a point in my life. In fact, I got there a long time before I ever started my podcast where I had that same resolve. I think making that decision was just kind of, in a sense, solidifying the decision that I had already made before, which was I was never going to turn away and back down from the truth. No matter how long it takes for it to come out, because that's what I believe. In the end, the truth will come out. It may not be, like they say, the ending is not for everyone. And I happen to believe, folks, that everybody out there who's listening right now is going to be there for the end. The ending is for all of us. I believe that wholeheartedly. But like I say, even if, worst case scenario, something were to happen to me, something were to happen to, you know, I suppose any one of us digital soldiers along the way, that's the cost of war. That's the price, the sacrifice that we're willing to make to fight and to stand up and to never, ever back down in the face of evil. That's what we've been tasked to do. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how many setbacks we have. And it doesn't really matter to me in the end what form the fight takes on. I mean, I hope and pray that it's always going to remain, at least our role is going to remain as digital soldiers, and that we're never going to actually have to pick up any real weapons. We still retain them, and we still know how to use them. And I remind people every now and then, or whoever's listening out there, that they better not forget that, because the American people are armed to the teeth. And if it ever came down to it, we will 100% fight for our freedom. There is no question in my mind. People can talk all day long about the apathy. And, you know, I've talked about it plenty of times on my show, the apathy and the cynicism of your average American. But folks, when the chips are down and there are real threats to our freedom, I mean, heck, if they ever thought that they were going to try to ship us off to camps, if they ever thought that that was going to go down with some without a fight, they were dead wrong. Now, obviously, if the deep state, if the cabal were really in control at this point, I think that fight would have already commenced. And I think obviously a lot of us wouldn't be here. Certainly we wouldn't be having that conversation. But their timeline and what they wanted to do, I mean, obviously Trump accelerated their timeline. But by now, if Hillary had gotten into power, folks, I think we have a pretty good idea of where we'd be right now. We may not know the particulars. They had different options on the table, but none of them were going to be good. All of us, especially the ones who decided they were going to stand up for the truth, were going to be targeted. And then eventually, after they got all of the people who stood up, they were going to come after everybody else. And that's the way it always works. But I believe in humanity. I believe in we the people, and I certainly believe in the American people and our resolve. We will not live under tyranny, hardcore tyranny. I mean, we are living under tyranny now. It's a different type. It's a free-range slavery debt matrix prison. But when it comes down to actually trying to physically enslave us or put us, forcibly inject us or take our children away or anything that they wanted to do. I mean, that's why we have weapons, and there is no question in my mind that the American people would respond with a fury that I shudder to even think about. And that's why I've talked about so many times, you know, why I'm so passionate about trying to steer people in the right direction to the degree that I have any influence to avoid going down that road, because that is just absolute a level of chaos and carnage and bloodshed that I don't even think folks can begin to wrap their brain around. As bad as the death is from the pandemic and this transhuman agenda, this AI attack against us, as bad as that is, a hot civil war, and it wouldn't be just here in America. I mean, I think if we started to see countries falling into civil war and chaos, I think it wouldn't be long until the entire war, world rather, was at war, civilly, globally. It would just be the cabal's greatest achievement as far as what they wanted to do to us. That's exactly where they want us to go. And instead, here we are on the eve of Christmas 2022. And yes, we haven't seen the big breakthroughs yet. We haven't had those big moments. We haven't gone through the eye of the storm, but yet we're still here. We're still having this conversation. The conversation continues. The fight continues. And even when we go through these lulls, and I took you through with me, folks, over my past several episodes. I mean, I take you on the ride with me. I give you the raw, honest truth about where I am on any given day. And for some people, I suppose they don't like that. They find it to be a turnoff for whatever reason. They think it's whatever they object to, it's just not for them. But for most people in my audience who aren't interested in just going and listening to the same old talking points, who aren't just interested in being inside of an echo chamber, but really want something authentic and raw and real and honest and true. If you tune into my show, that's what I try to give you to the best of my ability. And, you know, I take you on this journey with me. It's not just my journey, it's yours as well. I mean, that's the way I look at it. It's all of ours, because I don't believe the things that I'm talking about, the things that I'm feeling, are unique to me. In fact, it's pretty obvious that they're not when you look at how people respond. But folks, this is the essence of what brought us together. This journey that we're on together has strengthened us. And I've talked about this many times. I mean, we go through these valleys. And, you know, for me, I know it was a massive valley in a sense before I even started my show after January 6th, after the stolen election. I had to go through a period. It was almost like a healing period, a catharsis, if you will, because I was so angry. I was so enraged. I was so disillusioned. I couldn't believe what was happening. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I couldn't believe what I was seeing unfolding. In the one country in the world where I thought something like that could never happen. Because there was a part of me prior to January 6th, or part, I should say, prior to the 2020 election that still believed. And yes, it may have been naive and Pollyanna-ish of me to believe it, but there was still a part of me that believed, primarily because I wanted to believe, that there was still justice at some level in this country. And to see such a miscarriage of justice, to see such a raping of the will of the American people, and to see it allowed to stand the way it was. I mean, I just was incensed, like so many of us were, that how could it possibly be that Trump would not invoke the Insurrection Act, wouldn't call in the military? It's so naked, it's so obvious. It seemed 100% the right thing to do at the time. And I suppose there are still people out there, many folks who are listening, who probably are thinking to themselves, yeah, it was the right decision. That's the right, they should have gone. But you know something? I mean, we could sit here all day long and we could talk about how things would have gone. We don't really know. Would we have devolved into a civil war at that point? I think it's pretty likely, folks. I really do. I think that the consciousness level over the past 2 years, while it's not where we hoped it would be at this point necessarily, the cognitive dissonance that's been introduced and that's building and building and building with every passing day certainly wouldn't have been possible. If Trump had invoked the Insurrection Act, called in the Marines, and had everybody arrested, and I think at that point in time, you got to remember where the real power lies is always with we the people. And that's a fact. We don't have the same equipment as the military, the bombs, the missiles, and all these types of things. I get that. And in a kinetic battle against the military and this and that. I understand. I'm not trying to make that sort of an argument. What I'm talking about here is the real power always emanates from the masses, one way or another, because no matter how powerful your weapons are, no matter how sophisticated your technology is, you're talking about, when you're looking at the government or even, you know, the military or whatever, versus the massive swaths of the population out there, it's just too many people. And if you have a divided population to the degree that we did, especially in 2020 on the heels of a hotly contested, you know, election, on the heels of everything that went into, you got to remember all of the energy and all of the passion that people were feeling on both sides, I suppose you could say. The people who, obviously us who are Trump supporters, but all the people out there who vehemently believed that they were doing the right thing by voting him out and getting him out of office, even though there weren't that really that many, as we know. The truth of the matter is the country was very, very hotly divided at that point. And I do believe that at this stage, even though I'm not driving around seeing all the evidence that I had hoped to see at this point of a massive awakening, I can't deny that the Overton window has shifted and the nature of the conversation is changing. The Hegelian dialectic, the problem, reaction, solution pattern is starting. It's in the very early stages now, but it's starting to crumble because people are starting to become aware that these problems that are being introduced aren't just organic. They don't just come out of nowhere. People are starting to get wise to this. They're starting to realize that the same people who offer the reaction and then ultimately the solution are the ones that cause the problem to begin with. Now, that is obviously, I think it's the toughest red pill to swallow, is acknowledging that this is what goes on. That's what's always been the case. Every single major problem that's been introduced into our society for generations has been concocted and engineered by an evil enemy. And as Charlie Ward says, I mean, it's, you know, you may not agree with Charlie on everything. I certainly don't agree with him on everything. I don't agree with anyone on everything. But one thing he did say that is true is that, you know, he thought that, you know, evil was... He underestimated how evil actually is. It's not just a little bit bad. It's hardcore, cold-blooded, ruthless evil is what we're dealing with here. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, I mean, that's my commitment. That's what we're really up against here. That's what this whole experience. That's what the entirety of our lives have been about, to lead us to this point, to this moment, is so that we could learn about this evil, we could educate ourselves, we could defend ourselves, obviously, first and foremost, but ultimately come to terms with what evil really is and what it takes for God's people to raise up a standard against it. And we are that standard. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Every time evil floods into the world, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against it. And we are exactly that. And you know, folks, this fight was never supposed to be easy. I think a lot of us, in some ways, expected that because we were awake, because we are awake, that this near-death experience that we're going to go through was going to be something where we could kind of just sit on the sidelines with our popcorn. I happen to think that whatever it is that transpires is going to truly be under the circumstances where it's going to get darker and darker, and it's going to seem like where we are right now, these muddy waters that we're going through, I think it's going to get even more complex, even more dark, in the near future. I think that's what the essence of the near-death experience is. It's not going to be something that we're just going to be able to sit on the sidelines and be entertained by because we know what's going on. I think it's going to involve a massive amount of uncertainty. And even at the very moment that things are happening, it's going to appear as if we're the ones who are going to lose. And I mentioned Juan before, but you know, earlier he's talked many times about the reversal event, the Book of Esther, and how in the end, at the very last second, Haman was hoisted on his own petard. And I think that the message that he's always been trying to deliver to all of us is that don't think that simply because you know what you know and you're awake that this is going to be an easy thing to go through. In other words, the fog of war is going to be so thick and it's going to look as if this situation could teeter in either direction up until the last second, but the optics are going to be, obviously, I mean, we're going to be talking about the optics from our perspective, but the optics for the masses are going to be that everything is just simply falling apart. There's going to be, I'm sure, an element of this that's going to be financial, a financial crash. There's the military element. I mean, we're seeing Russia gear up for a winter offensive. SGNON has talked extensively about this. But I mean, I don't think it's going to be long, probably shortly after Christmas and the New Year, that they're going to move in. And there's going to be a massive land invasion of Ukraine. This is going to send the entire continent of Europe into a critical state. I mean, they're already there. But all of the different countries that are involved, Poland and Turkey, we're watching the dissolution of NATO in real time. But I don't think for one second that Putin is going to wait for another year to allow all of the West's weapons and personnel to come in and fortify the Ukraine so that it would make it harder for them to do what they ultimately need to do, which is to go in there and completely wipe them out. I'm talking about the Khazarians. I'm not obviously talking about the Ukrainian people, the innocent people in the crossfire. I pray for those folks. I mean, my heart breaks for anyone who's caught in the crossfire, but the reality of the matter is, folks, is that the Russians are better equipped to fight in the winter weather than any other military force on Earth by far. And historically, this is how they've always won wars. This is why they've never been defeated. And I do believe that this is what they're gearing up to do. And let's not forget, we've been told there are going to be tribunals in the summer. And we don't know necessarily if they're going to be Western tribunals. I happen to think they probably will be, because I think that is where all of this is headed. I think this is going to be a crescendo. All the information coming out of the tribunals that Russia holds is going to be obviously interconnected with the West, because the West runs all of these bio labs. In fact, Putin has already come out and talked about this and said that COVID-19 was part of the biological weapons program inside of Ukraine. So this is what's happening on that front. And of course, you've got more and more disclosure with every passing day. So what's the deep state going to do? They're not going to be able to run out the clock for much longer, I should say, to drag this out for much longer. In fact, it looks very likely to me that at this stage, they really need some sort of a massive false flag event. Now, false flags, that doesn't necessarily mean something is fake. What it means is that the reason or the narrative that's provided is fake. But it doesn't mean that it's not going to be a real situation with real casualties. And all of us really have been anticipating now for quite some time that there's going to be, if not one major one, there's going to be a series of major false flag events or attempts by the deep state to try to shift and change the narrative by creating enough chaos, like we've talked about. I mean, they're in a position right now where the only thing that's going to save them from justice, if you will, is to completely shift the consciousness, the mass consciousness, away from the emerging evidence of their crimes. And that's exactly what's happening. That's what they're going to attempt to do. But again, the playbook is known. The White Hats have countermeasures in play. They know exactly what the deep state, they may not know exactly what card they're going to play, but they know all the different cards that they could play. And they're prepared for any contingency. And so, folks, I do believe that things are going to get pretty crazy. I think once Russia escalates this war, as they have to, I mean, let's not misunderstand the situation here. It's not as if Russia is the aggressor. They're doing exactly what they have to do. But everybody knows that they've only unleashed about it, maybe 10% of their military capability. But once they fully unleash the Russian bear, everyone's going to be aware that the world is at war. And how this plays out in terms of Biden, well, I happen to think that it's still heading in the direction of a nuclear scare, of some sort of a Cuban Missile Crisis type of event. I still happen to believe, even though I want to buy into the idea of a longer, more drawn out awakening, organic awakening process, and I've talked about that as a theory, as a possibility, even though I want to believe that, I still, in my gut, am not persuaded that it's going to be enough. I still think that there has to be something that pushes or forces the issue on the public to break through. I mean, again, the cognitive dissonance that's being introduced right now, I think, is setting the stage. It's priming the pump, if you will, or preheating the oven. The mind has to be prepared for what's about to happen. That's what I think is going on here. But without a major shock, and again, not a trauma, but a shock, a fear-based event that's going to get everyone's attention and force everybody to pay attention. Short of that, I don't see a massive awakening happen. I just don't see it organically moving in that direction. Now, I mean, if the mainstream media was to be replaced, shall we say, if they suddenly started telling the truth, then yeah, maybe over a period of time we could see more of an organic awakening. But as of right now, we still have the enemy mouthpiece blaring out lies and deception. And so as long as that continues, I don't see any kind of an organic awakening. I think it would just take far too long. And by the time we got there, if we got there, the cost would be way too high. I think there still has to be something that forces the issue. There has to be a very dramatic event that's going to shake people out of their apathy, that's going to bring society to a standstill, that's going to, yes, get people off the streets, to be somewhat of a lockdown situation. I pray it's not a second pandemic. I'd rather see us go down the road that we're talking about right now, which is this, you know, Cuban Missile Crisis, because that, I think, all of us would be able to identify what's really going on, as opposed to the release of a real pathogen. That's a real life situation. That's a real attack on all of us. So I hope and pray that's not going to happen. And I have to be honest with folks. My gut tells me that that isn't going to happen. And some of the conversations that I've had behind the scenes have kind of led me to believe, I can't say with any certainty 100% one way or another, but I don't think that we are headed in that direction. Could there be a scare along those lines? Could there be something of a simulation, a CGI scenario to somehow contribute to this near-death experience? Very possible. But the actual release of a real pathogen, and real forced vaccinations. I mean, if they really decide to go down that road, I don't really, I still haven't been able to war game a scenario in my mind where that's not going to go off the rails real quick at this stage. So I don't think that that's where we're headed. Rather, I see this build up to world war. I mean, it's already beyond a build up, but I mean, it's escalating and escalating. And obviously we know that this whole plan to save humanity is not just limited to America. This is a worldwide plan. So I think that all of these different puzzle pieces all throughout the world geopolitically are going to start coming together more and more. And all of the different dots are going to start connecting. All of these loose ends that don't seem to make sense are going to start coming together. And I don't think that we are looking at a very elongated timeline. That's just my gut feeling. I'm not going to put any sort of a time frame on it. I'm just going to tell folks that with Russia making this massive move, this land invasion, with Elon Musk disclosing all of this information, with all of these topics trending on Twitter, I mean, folks, that in and of itself, I mean, when you see, you know, Fauci's a criminal, Fauci's a murderer, and all these or different types of derivations of follow the white rabbit and these things trending on Twitter, you have to concede that the conversation is changing. The nature of the conversation is changing. So with that happening, and with the military conflicts that are going on around the world escalating, and knowing what we know, that all of this is interconnected, the FTX scandal, we're going to see more crypto exchanges go down. We're going to see more drama come out of the Sam Bankman-Fried trial. All of this is going to be interconnected. It is interconnected, but all of these connections, many of which we don't fully understand yet, are going to start coming together. That's what this is. This is a genius level tapestry that's been woven together by the White Hats. We're talking about a level of planning that is true genius. We're not just putting that label on it just because it sounds good. There's a reason that none of us have been able to figure out all the particulars here. There's a reason that there's been so much fog of war, and yet amidst all of it, amidst all of the expectations and the frustrations and the disappointment, none of us can deny that where we are right now, I mean, if you're really being honest, you put your frustration aside, if you're really being honest, the nature of the conversation is changing. The cognitive dissonance is setting in. The offensives against the enemy are escalating on multiple different levels, militarily, psychologically, and ultimately spiritually. And that's why it's so important for us. This is what I was talking about recently after I went through, you know, kind of a valley spiritually myself in the wake of the midterms and, you know, some of the disappointments that I felt. After I got through that, I quickly came to realize that all of us have a choice to make. Amidst all of this uncertainty, amidst all of this fog of war, there is one thing that's clear, ironically, and that is that we have a choice whether or not we want to stay strong in the Lord and stay in the light and keep our elevation, our frequency elevated, excuse me, to keep our vibration high, or do we want to cling to the negative? Because there's a hell of a lot of negativity out there, folks. And that's the thing. There's just something about, this is what the devil uses to his advantage. There's something about negativity that's very seductive. There's something about it that when you're experiencing as just by virtue of being human, and you know, it's part of the human experience is having to go through and experience these negative emotions. But there's something very tempting about wanting to cling to that negativity rather than to transcend it, because to transcend it takes a lot more effort. It takes a lot more spiritual grounding. It takes a lot more prayer. And quite frankly, it takes a lot more courage and honesty. And like I was talking about, I mean, that's how you extricate yourself from the darkness. And when you find yourself caught up in it, the negativity, the darkness, not because you're a bad person, not because anything has necessarily changed in you, but because you're human. And you go through periods where it's just, you can't necessarily always be your highest self. And that's a big reason why, you know, I think the Lord saw fit to bring us all together. Because he knew that we were going to need each other from time to time along the way in this journey to drag us out of that darkness. And guess what? There have been plenty of people out there in the audience who have done exactly that for me, who haven't been afraid to tell me the truth in the comments in a nice way. I mean, not in a way to try to hurt me or insult me or anything else, but to say, look, you're not staying in the light right now. You're not moving in the right direction. Now, I don't necessarily always agree with folks when they say that, but sometimes I have to concede that they're right. This is a choice facing humanity right now. Whether we're going to be consumed by this darkness that's coming into the light as it's coming into the light, or whether we are going to be the light that transcends that darkness. That's really the fundamental battle, the essence of this spiritual war. And so, yes, I mean, am I sitting here going to make some sort of a pledge to you that I'm never going to have a podcast where I criticize or I'm negative or I'm experiencing some negative energy on that day? No, I can't make that pledge to you. I'm just telling you the way that I see this war and the way that I see our responsibility collectively as patriots. Yes, we have to be critical of the white hats. Absolutely. Yes, we have to ask those difficult questions. Yes, we have to hold their feet to the fire in a metaphorical sense in terms of paying attention and having a memory and making sure that we are not just simply blindly believing anything that we're told. We have to have discernment, and I believe that that's continuing to build in all of us as we go through it, this process. But yet, more importantly, we have to remember that this is God's plan and that we have to stay strong in him. We have to stay in the light because the enemy is doing everything that they can to try to obfuscate that light, to try to block it, to try to somehow dilute it. And we know the various different ways, but really in the end, it's all negative, dark energy that's being infused into the conversation in an attempt to try to get us to move away from the light, to try to get us to move away from one another, to divide us, to fill us with anger, to fill us with hatred, to fill us with rage, to fill us with apathy and cynicism. That's what they're trying to do to us. And we can't allow them to win. And that's a choice that each and every one of us has to make on an individual level. It's a spiritual war. And it's up to us to decide in the end whether we gravitate toward the light or whether we get consumed by the darkness. But we know that God wins. We know that Jesus is king. We know that he has authority over all the principalities of darkness. And so therefore, no matter what distractions they throw out there, no matter how they try to confuse the situation and confuse all of us to get us to give up, we can never, ever allow the enemy to get what they want. No matter how justified we may feel in that moment. And again, that's the thing. You can justify just about anything, folks. There's always a rationale. There's always a reason, especially when it comes to anger and negativity and even, you know, sometimes righteous anger even. And I'm not suggesting, I mean, hey, you know, I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with getting angry. Like many people have said in the comments of my shows and I've talked about even. Jesus Christ himself exhibited righteous anger And so therefore, none of us can expect that we're not going to live through the same sort of emotions and have to navigate through those same types of feelings. But in the end, folks, I've been through so many situations in my life. I can tell you, if you allow negativity to wrap its tentacles around you for long enough, and you don't recognize spiritually what's happening, and you cling to rationales instead of rising to your higher self and going to God and humbling yourself and being honest. That's why, you know, I'm not afraid to admit when I've made a mistake. You know why? Because I don't see it as a weakness. In fact, I've always had a great amount of respect for people who have enough courage to admit when they were wrong. Because honesty, the truth, shall set you free. And it begins within each and every one of us. All right, folks, hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. I'm going to cut it at this point. I didn't think I was going to record for as long as I did today. But once again, once I get into it with you guys and really start feeling the conversation and the energy, I just don't want to pull myself away, but I do have to go and do a few things. So I'm going to wish all of you a wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. I'm going to be back at some point next week. In fact, I have a deep dive on Antarctica scheduled for, I believe it's the 29th with Brad Olson. So hopefully folks will enjoy that. I do plan on doing another podcast between now and then, but probably not until after Christmas. So until then, folks, I'm going to wish all of you well. Thank you for taking the time to listen. I just want to thank everybody for all of your support this year. This has been an incredible, incredible year for me personally. And the members of the audience out there who have been the foundation of my support, not just this year really, but since the very beginning. I want to offer a special thank you to all of you, because I don't think that I would have been able at certain points along the way of this journey to be able to get out of my own way long enough, because I'm very, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm very critical of myself, and I tend to be my own worst enemy at certain points, let's just say. I mean, I'm still growing and I'm still changing spiritually. This is a quest for all of us, like I said, and I'm no different. But the people out there who have been so supportive and so loving have made all the difference in the world. And when I've been feeling down about myself, or when I've been experiencing that dark energy, that negativity, like I've been talking about today, you are the ones who have been able to pull me out of it. You're the ones who have prompted me and reminded me how important it is to be honest with myself. And I just want to say thank you to all of you, because without you, none of this would be possible. And it's an absolute honor for me to be in this position, to be able to have folks come around to listen and to share in this experience of the Great Awakening. So thank you, everybody. So before I sign off, I just want to remind folks, please check out patriotunderground.shop and pick up an item or two to support me. You can also make a pledge on Patreon. Thank you to all of my patrons. And folks, remember to check out patriotswitch.com. This is an incredible company. You hear me talk about it all the time for good reason. We are in the midst of a war that you can't even really put into words. You can't even fully imagine the scope even of this war. But certainly there are very tangible things that we can do as patriots to fight back against this enemy. And we know that they keep us enslaved. They keep this debt prison propped up using tools of financial enslavement. And this is an area, this is why I'm so passionate about Patriot Switch. This is why when they came to me, I saw a real opportunity for us to actually make a difference, to join in this movement. That's more than 2 million people strong already. I've got hundreds of people in the audience who have already signed up for Patriot Switch. I get messages all the time of people saying how happy they are with the products, how amazed they are at the quality. And most importantly, how satisfied they are that they know that their money, their hard-earned money, is not going, at least in this instance, to feed into all of these evil operations. I mean, we know, folks, that this is what they do. They have forced us to surrender our own energy in the form of our money, our life's work. They've created this system where we have no choice, in essence, if we want to operate in society, to keep our lives going. We have no choice but to fund their evil operations because we've got to purchase the things that we've got to purchase. And that's why Patriot Switch is so amazing, because they say, okay, yeah, you've got to purchase those things. Guess what? You don't have to purchase it from the enemy. You can purchase it from a patriotic company that manufactures the products here in America, that supports American families, American jobs, and most importantly, a company that is opposed to evil, that is sided with us. That's what this is all about. This is the beginning, and I'm sure there are going to be many other companies that come up along the way, along these same lines, as the Great Awakening accelerates. That's why it's so important for us to be the tip of the spear, to be ahead of the curve, as we've always been. And as people awaken and realize where their money is gone, more and more companies are going to step up as the big box conglomerates fall. And that's why we are indeed, folks, pioneering a movement. So patriotswitch.com, click the link, check it out today. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Once again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'm sure you definitely will hear from me before the New Year, but Merry Christmas to all of you out there. Take that in the right spirit. I urge each and every one of you, enjoy your families, spend time with your loved ones, be at peace, find your balance, and we will meet again very soon to fight another day. God bless and Godspeed, everyone. Patriot out.